The tough job of reopening the cities and better understanding young kids from the guy who wrote the book. Welcome to the cities. Iowa and Illinois have different timetables when it comes to reopening the businesses in their states. It's causing frustration among businesses, workers, and of course, all of us, the consumers. What can be done to make this seemingly impossible task a little bit easier? Well, we asked Paul Rumler, the president and chief executive officer of the Quad Cities Chamber, about the state of our business world in this period of a pandemic. Paul, we had rosy pictures for the year 2020 as far as the economics of the area is concerned. That's obviously out the door. How bad is it for small businesses right now?
Yeah, small businesses are struggling. I think nobody could have foreseen this coming 4 or 5 months ago. But now that we're in the thick of it, our businesses are frustrated and they're wanting to get back open. Their livelihoods are at stake, and I know that a lot of employees want to get back to work. We have a great community. We just want to make sure that we can enjoy it.
So what is your advice right now? Because there are a lot of, there's some slow openings going on. Some stores can open, yeah. Others cannot. I guess let's start with the ones that cannot. As you said, the frustration is setting in right now.
It is, and there's a few things that we're advocating for right now at the Quad Cities Chamber. First, we want to make sure that we're all in this together. We're a Quad Cities region. We might be located in two states, but we're one economy. So we're asking for some consistent guidelines across Iowa and Illinois. Right now, we're not getting that. We're also asking for some timely reopenings. Some of the guidelines are saying we need 14-day decline of COVID. Some say 28. We're trying to set it at a clear 14-day window so that way we can get open. Some restaurants and bars in particular aren't at the first phase of reopening, and we're wanting to make sure that all businesses can open as soon as possible. They're all planning in a responsible manner to take in effect social distancing guidelines and other protocols for sanitation, because everybody wants to keep their employees and their customers safe, but we need to get back to having that chance. And so we're asking businesses to make sure they have a plan. We've issued a reopening toolkit at the Quad Cities Chamber that helps walk them through what they need to do to be safe and responsible when they reopen. And we're asking our state officials to make sure that we give these business owners a chance. They certainly can't make much money or pay their rent when their business is closed. So let's make sure that we allow them to open up and help boost that consumer confidence again that we can do it in a responsible and safe manner.
Well, and as you know, some businesses are opening up this weekend just in time for Mother's Day, mostly on the Iowa side, of course. And on the Illinois side, businesses are slowly opening, but there is the requirement for people to wear those face masks out in public. Yep. Like you said, two different criteria for two different states. Is it a little bit too little, too late for some of these businesses?
You're going to see some that aren't going to reopen. That's just the facts of being closed for 2 months and not having customers. And some might not have been able to switch and pivot to be able to do online sales or curbside delivery. So that's going to be hurting our local economy. So the rosy picture we talked about last year is not going to be so rosy in 2020. But many businesses have made that shift. And they've been very nimble, and they're trying to remarket themselves and make sure that they can serve their customers in a new way. So I think that many businesses are optimistic. They might be frustrated, but they're optimistic if they can get opened up here in the next few days.
And the Chamber has been offering kind of a series of either webinars or some kind of guidance to businesses as a way to open. What do you hope to accomplish by doing that?
We want to make sure that our businesses are prepared, that they go into this fully knowledgeable, and so that way we can do it in a safe and responsible manner of reopening. We want customers to make sure that they feel confident that they can walk into a restaurant or into a retail establishment, or if they go into a place of business, we want them to know that businesses in the Quad Cities area have taken the appropriate precautions to make sure that they're sanitizing everything, they have all the precautions in place, social distancing protocols in place, so that way everybody can enjoy what they need to in a safe manner.
Because you've been pointing out the business angle, let's talk about the consumer angle. I mean, you've been pushing since day one, please shop, buy, still go local as best you can. But a lot of people have gone to internet shopping even more than ever before. Are you worried that some of these customers are lost forever?
There is definitely that issue. But I've seen so many local businesses shift their practices where they didn't have an e-commerce or an online strategy before. They do now. And I think that this is the time that the Quad Cities really rallies together to support one of their own businesses. And I've seen a much stronger trend to buying local, whether that be through the gift card program or just making sure that they're going out to their local shop or their restaurant that they're familiar with and supporting them. I think that we've really rallied together as a Quad Cities, and I'm more optimistic than not that we can survive this.
And the month of May, obviously, very much a transition period for businesses and consumers right now.
To say the least. So we've been going from we're permanently closed with no timeline. We finally have a timeline for reopening. In Iowa, it's happening today for some, hopefully next week for others. In Illinois, we're pushing to get that open as soon as possible. But at the very earliest right now, it looks like the end of May. We're at that critical time where we need to get moving. Businesses want to get open, customers want to get out there, but we all need to remember we need to do it in a responsible manner. We need to make sure that we're sanitizing things, use a cashless, touchless system if at all possible. We're going to be entering into a new world come June, and we need to remember that.
Paul, let's talk a little bit about the businesses that were impacted by the flood of 2019. There are some businesses that are not only coping with all the problems of this year with COVID-19, but particularly if you think of downtown Davenport, the flood of last year, and then we have some of the street fairs and some of the events of this summer that are canceled as well. Are you real worried about the heart of Davenport right now?
I am. Definitely worried about those who've made huge investments in their businesses in downtown Davenport and Moline and Rock Island and Bettendorf. Throughout the Quad Cities area, you've had businesses that have been impacted by the flood and COVID-19, no matter where they're located. It still impacted mobility across the Quad Cities. It impacted us being able to host conferences and conventions across the Quad Cities area and just go about our normal lives. So businesses across the area have been impacted, but in downtown Davenport in particular, they had the double whammy. And so right now they're being as creative as possible. I think you saw the majority of them survive the flood of last year, and they're going through what they are with COVID. Hopefully the short-term federal and state assistance is helping them weather the last month or two. But if we can get reopened again and customers are able to get back out and get into their shops or at least have some sense of normalcy to get out there again, I think they might be okay, but I know that they're anxious to have that opportunity.
Well, you know as well as I do is that if you're running a small business, sometimes it's a very lonely thing to do. I mean, you don't necessarily have a safety net. Ooh. You're really in it by yourself, and it's your investment, your time, your blood, sweat, and tears, to be perfectly honest. But there is help out there. I mean, I think the Chamber has been trying to point that out to people, is that you don't have to go it alone.
Yeah, Jim, the Quad Cities Chamber over the last 8 weeks has pivoted our entire organization to focus on helping the existing companies in the Quad Cities area, whether they're a member of ours or not. We have resources on our website. We have our team that's ready to answer their call. And we've been doing outreach to over 1,000 businesses so far in the last few weeks, making sure that they have connections to the financial resources that are available if they need help completing their applications or getting referrals. We're doing that. We've been doing new promotions to make sure that customers understand how to get out there and support our local businesses. We want to make sure that every business out there knows that the Chamber is here as a resource, but then we also connect them with our friends at other state agencies and local business resource providers as well. We just want to make sure that they have everything that they can to weather the storm.
What kind of impact do you think it's going to be when you start seeing Big 7 canceled and the Street Fest canceled? The golf tournament's still on, but so many other events have been canceled. This is going to stretch well into the summer.
You're seeing, per the state guidelines and federal guidelines, no gatherings over 10 right now. Even in the next phase, no gatherings over 50. So yes, you're going to see a different world where we don't have major sporting events, where we don't have major conventions, and those things that we love about the Quad Cities, whether it be the BIC 7, John Deere Classic, we'll see what the status of that is. It's going to change, and it's going to impact our restaurants, it's going to impact our hospitality industry, it's going to impact everybody.
As you mentioned, that Iowa and Illinois are obviously operating on two different sets of rules and guidelines, two different administrations, two different governments, of course. You said that you would like to see some kind of agreement between Iowa and Illinois. Is that really possible, though? I mean, it's two very different administrations.
I think it is possible. We've seen the willingness of states work together in the past. Even in the last few weeks, we've seen coalitions of states come together and say they want to have consistent guidelines across their communities. We've been asking for that here in the Quad Cities for some time, that we are one economy, we're one region. People live in one city, they work in another. They cross those state lines on a regular basis. We're in the midst of, we just put the capstone on the largest investment in Illinois or Iowa in recent history with the I-74 bridge. We are one economy. And so we're trying to get the attention of our two states to make sure that they treat us as such. And I think that we can do it. It's just whether or not they want to help us get to that point in time.
I've talked to you a lot, almost exclusively, about service industry, because that's where the consumers, of course, are most interested. But, of course, we've got to talk about manufacturing. We've got to talk about the jobs that are out there. Tell me about that sector of the Quad City economy and how healthy that is right now.
So as you look across the spectrum, the manufacturers in our area are mostly essential businesses. So 80% of the businesses that we've surveyed at the Quad Cities Chamber have remained open to some degree. That's largely involving the manufacturing industry, logistics of transportation. So our larger primary industries have, for the most part, stayed in business. If you think about Deere & Company, or if you think about Arconic, or some of those larger, the Arsenal has maintained operations. Everybody is still working. IMEG, another service industry in the engineering field, they're all open. That's going to help us as we look at reopening, and it should mitigate some of the negative economic impacts, because our large employers and our large producers are still moving forward. It's going to be on the service side where you've seen the majority of the unemployment filings, and where you're going to see some of that slower growth and potentially more of those businesses who are struggling or may unfortunately have to close.
Well, as you pointed out at the beginning of the year, one of the things that you were proud of the Quad City area was the diversification of businesses, manufacturing, industries as well.
Yep.
I mean, that's really serving the area well right now, because when you think back to the 1980s and the terrible crisis of the farm implement shutdowns, we're not seeing that this time around.
We, as a community, we are the third most diversified economy in the country. That's a really good thing. We could not have said that in the 1980s. My team and I, we talk about how we're trying to change the trajectory of the impact of COVID-19. Much like in the 1980s, I wish we would have had a Quad Cities Chamber that was in place to help do that then. And so we think that this is a generational moment where we want to make sure that the Quad Cities Chamber and this region rally together. And I've seen this community come together in ways that have never happened before. And I think Q2030 is a major component of that. Our region has really rallied together through that initiative to say that we can be collaborative, we need to be thinking strategically, and we need to be thinking for the long term to make sure that we can manage through crises like COVID-19 that were unforeseen. And I think we're doing a really good job.
Q2030, for those that are not familiar, is kind of a Quad City Chamber initiative that kind of envisions what the Quad City area will look like in 10 years' time.
It is, and we're going through a review right now. We had to put it on pause the last few weeks, but we were trying to reimagine what our goals were, and I think it's a really good time to think on the other side of COVID-19. What are we going to look like? Where's the help that we need to provide our Quad citizens and the businesses and our communities? And what do we need to do to rally for the next decade so that way we can really reach our full potential as a community?
And once again, with the few moments we have left, I just want to get back to the people that, as you said, the ones that are going to get through this, they'll be scathed, but at least not be mortally wounded, are the ones that were the most nimble, perhaps the most forward-thinking people that own small businesses. But that's not everyone. Some old mom-and-pops centers may not be as technologically advanced as others. What are you saying to some of these established small businesses that may not be, as high-tech as some of their competitors right now?
They're going to have to get there pretty quickly. And I think they're realizing that right now. I've seen more people on social media than ever before. People are making sure that their websites are up and active. And those are some of the resources that we're providing to our members and businesses in the area. If they are not in a highly technological manner, they need to get there pretty quickly. They need to make sure that they're communicating their value proposition and engaging their customers in a new way. They just can't rely on, as they probably learned over the last few months, a sign outside their store because people might not be driving by because they're staying at home. So they're really going to have to be nimble and be flexible. But this is a time, and I think we're really resilient as a community here in the Quad Cities, and we're really innovative. And I'm really relying and optimistic that the Quad Cities business community can rise to the occasion.
Well, and we knew changes were coming in the economy. You could tell that. The 21st century economy has changed by leaps and bounds in just 5 years. Does it seem that COVID-19 just accelerated that now?
Oh, I think it's accelerated a lot of things. And I think people have learned that they can be just as productive and by working from home as they are in the office. And I think that you're going to see some long-standing impacts of COVID-19, not just in the next few weeks or months, but for years to come.
That's Paul Rumler, the president and CEO of the Quad Cities Chamber. As of this week, almost 60% of Americans have filled out the 2020 census. The count continues even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. The real question now is, have you been counted?
The census counts everyone in this country, and that really means everyone. A hospital patient, yes, that person counts. Newborn Benjamin, yeah, little Ben now counts. Two families that live in the same house, sure thing, they all count. Or David, who's living in his cousin Daniel's garage, he also counts. The census counts everyone to make things better for all of us.
Lojo Russo says that she has been using her enforced downtime to get some house cleaning done, like writing new songs and preparing to go back on stage someday. We met up with her months ago as she was on stage at Moline's Black Box Theater. Here's Lojo Russo in our spotlight right now with Restless Soul.
There's a sign down on Main Street attracts me like a moth to a flame, illuminating words saying thank you, please come back again. It reminds my restless soul I've been here too long without a word or a whisper. Going, gone. There's a girl back in Boston remembers better me when I took everything for granted, gave it all away for free. It reminds me of a time when I thought I could do no wrong, and like a fading photograph, it's going, going, gone. You stand face to face with the weight of it all. Your heart hits a wall. There's a side to the story the truth, and the side where no one gets hurt. I'm reminded that history is written by those who are strong, and like pages torn and tattered, going, going, gone. Thank you. come home.
Lojo Russo with Restless Soul. She says you can check in on her Facebook page anytime. So every now and then she's there performing as well. Now, as we stay home with our families, we're probably getting to know our kids a little bit better. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's bad. Well, last year we talked to a motivational speaker and author, Mark Perna. He has studied today's generation and helped schools, parents, and communities try to motivate the kids of today. He wrote the book Answering Why: Unleashing Passion, Purpose, and Performance in Younger Generations.
To young people today, experience is everything. They want to have experiences. They want to travel the world. They want to get back. They're environmentally conscious. They're constantly looking for bigger and better experiences to have. But one of the key things is, the reason I called my book Answering Why, is that as a parent or an employer or as an educator, you have to answer the why for them. They have to understand why they're doing anything or there'll be no action. And so this is maybe an aha moment. It is when I travel around the country, is that if you're asking a young person to do something, when I say young person, I mean 39 and younger. So two generations, Generation Y Millennials and Generation Z. And if you ask them to do something, and they look back at you and they say, well, Jim, why should I do it that way? Most of us take that as a smart aleck response, right, and we give the all-American response back,
because
Because I said so.
Right.
But the aha moment is that most young people don't mean it as a smart aleck response. What they're really saying is, why do we do it this way? Because you know what? I'm intelligent, I'm resourceful, I'm unique, I'm special, I'm important, I understand how to use technology. Why do we do things this way? Because there has to be a better way to do this. There must be a way to use Google something. There must be a way to put it in the cloud. There must be a way to get a bigger impact so that we can push this further and faster. And yet, older generations, we tend to cut their knees out from underneath them, and we don't give them the opportunity. So the number one thing I would say to everyone is you've got to answer the why. You've got to get them to understand why this is important, and then let them try to come up with a better way to do this. Whether they can or not, it is meaningless. It's give them the opportunity to try. They feel like they're part of the solution, and they want to be part of the solution.
Well, and then I'm assuming it's the same for educators as well. I mean, it's a different way of teaching.
Correct. They have to see what I call a light at the end of the tunnel. So a light at the end of the tunnel is a simple concept. What does their career and lifestyle look like? In young people today, more than half of every decision that a young person makes today is based on how it affects their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that, we actually have to start with lifestyle. And we have to understand where they want to go, how they want to get there, and then career actually becomes a part of that lifestyle decision. What's that perfect intersection between career and with lifestyle? And so in the classroom today, and in education, we have to get them to see the lifestyle and career that's possible, because that's what draws them down the tunnel. The tunnel is the work, the labor, the effort, the skill development. It's everything that is necessary for them to achieve whatever their light at the end of the tunnel is. And that's based on their own unique interests, talents, and abilities. And so the more we can get them through the tunnel, it's how they get to see what's possible and where they can go.
When they come to the other end of the tunnel, it's the time to get into the workforce.
Correct.
And that has changed even perhaps more so. Right. You ask any employer and they're saying, you know what, I've got this millennial, I've got this Generation Z kid, I've got whatever you got, and I have to justify everything that I need to do. And also, they may be gone in 2 weeks because they're not loyal. They're moving, all they're doing is thinking of themselves.
Well, and you're right on. So, but let me tack on to that.
Yeah.
So Deloitte, the global accounting and consulting firm, did a huge survey of millennials. About 18 months ago, they came out with the results of this. And what they found, to me, is astonishing. They found that 68% of female millennials, this is in the workforce, 68% of female millennials and 64% of male millennials, which is two-thirds of what is now the largest generation working in America, plans to leave their current job within the next 3 years.
Right.
This is a cataclysmic shift in workforce development.
It very much is, absolutely.
And the number one reason given is what is astonishing to me, because it was the number one reason given by far, and it wasn't boredom. It was, we no longer want to work in an organization where pursuit of the almighty dollar is the only outcome. They want to work in an organization that gives back. They want to work in an organization that has purpose. They want to work in an organization where the pride of their contribution actually adds to the greater good. And you know what, Jim? I don't think that's a bad thing.
Right, but I mean, for retention, that's very difficult. I mean, you can have a small company, and you're not going to meet all the needs of a new employee.
No, but you can take this knowledge and calibrate your culture in a way that allows you to make a difference in your community, that allows you to connect their contribution to something greater than simply shareholder value and making money. And unfortunately, most businesses are struggling with that, and that's why they have a revolving door coming in and going out, is because young people are looking not only for something that they can make decent money at, and real high money is not the top of the list for them like it was for older generations. But what they're looking for is purpose. What they're looking for is meaning. What they're looking for is doing something they can be proud of. And that, where business and industry more connects to that. And it can be done simply, but it has to be more than simply making money.
That was Mark Perna, the author of the book Answering Why: Unleashing Passion, Purpose, and Performance in Younger Generations. It's from an interview we did last January. We want to remind you that WQPT has some great online programs for you and your family during this time. Go to our website at WQPT.org to learn more about the PBS Kids program. It includes several interactive apps and games that make learning fun. Plus, check out PBS for Parents with online resources, including a section that helps moms and dads talk to their kids about the coronavirus. It's all free and family-friendly. Check it out right now at WQPT.org. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.